Well, it's that time again. The Persiflage podcast, Persiflage number 15. And the tagline this week is, yes, it's that time again. So that joke apparently never gets old. And it was originally printed June 28th, 2001. I should say, for those of you who are new listeners, that what this podcast is all about is that I read aloud into a microphone the entire contents of the old zine Persiflage, which was published in the early years of this millennium. And this is the 15th time that I will have done this. And this one looks like looks interesting. There's an essay, and then a poem, and then I guess another essay. And then the usual quotations at the end. So here goes. The first essay is actually called "The Key to Happiness Revealed," with an exclamation mark. So that could be some very useful information. We'll see. Here goes. Freud said once, if I'm not mistaken, I couldn't hear him clearly, I was on the other side of the room, and Jung was noodling away on that damned harmonica of his, that all human beings need to be happy is love and meaningful work. Hooray, Sigmund. Of course that would make human beings happy, but what are the chances of any of us going 2 for 2 on this little proposition? Even mild disdain and underpaid drudgery seems like a bit of a stretch for me most days. The trick is not knowing this, the trick is getting this. My ears prick up, not their natural state, the moment anyone begins discussing human happiness. There's always the chance that someone, sometime, just maybe, might have some borderline useful tip for getting there. I suspect those of you who haven't just completely given up hope do something similar. Even the cynics amongst us will, if there's nobody watching, check out the horoscopes, read the biorhythms, hover over the phone numbers on psychic hotline ads. Why? Because no matter how silly it seems, most of us could benefit from a slight nudge in the general direction of happiness, and any kind of hint begins to seem appealing after a while. Now if, sometime during the last paragraph, you got on your high horse and thought to yourself, I never do that, or that stuff's moronic crap, then hold on a sec and think of all the stupid, desperate things you've done in your quest for happiness. And remember, there were probably witnesses that we could dig up if we had to. Not you? Never fallen for someone who had no interest in you? No? Never stayed in a relationship that everyone else in the area code knew was doomed? No? Never got drunk in an effort to deal with your emotional difficulties? That's all. I suspect we picked up a lot of passengers at that particular little stop on the pathetic express. In last week's Persiflage, we included a quotation from Kierkegaard. The difference between men is simply a question of how they say stupid things. The universally human is to say them. I would change this and make it broader. I would say that the universally human is to do stupid things. The question of why we do stupid things is not a difficult one. We're all pretty much flailing around out here. Some of our attempts to sort ourselves out are bound to be pretty hilarious to those not immediately involved. But take heart, the chance to laugh at someone else's misfortune is always just around the corner. The really aggravating thing about all this is that what is a completely darkened room to us seems incredibly well lit to anyone else. What I mean by that is this. Even your most casual acquaintance, after about 10 minutes of knowing you, has a pretty clear idea of how you should be living your life. Whereas you, with all your first-hand experience and bottomless knowledge of self, haven't the faintest semblance of a blind clue. If you're really honest with yourself, and who the hell wants to do that? What you should do even later this afternoon, for God's sakes, is confusing to you. Freud probably could have told you personally, if he met you, what would be meaningful work for you, and he could also probably, on a moment's or two reflection, tell you who your one true love was. But the problem is that it would be in German, and you don't speak German, do you? Hubris. Well, I'm not sure that that actually contained the key to happiness. I don't feel any happier having read that. Okay, next up, a poem entitled Faux Pas, F-A-U-X-P-A-S, which I believe is French. Hotter than I thought, the sun stops me from being coolly comfortable in the jeans and wool socks I wore, thinking it would be, you know, cooler. F speaking. And the second essay, which appears also to have been written by Hubris, is entitled Improbable Jobs. There are, as we all know, a lot of people out there making a lot of money doing things that seem pretty ridiculous. We can no longer point to chia pets as an example, as they seem to have gone the way of the dodo. Don't write in and say you saw some the other day or that you've perused their latest sales figures and things are booming again. This is not information I want. But colonels seems a pretty good case. If someone had walked up to me 10 or 15 years ago and said, "Hey, Hugh, I've got a ground floor business opportunity for you. It's kiosks that sell different flavored popcorn." I would have laughed in their face, or at least behind their back. It just goes to show that you never can tell what's going to make money and what isn't. Lately, I've stumbled across a few jobs right here in the city that seem pretty strange to me. But apparently people make something resembling a living doing them. Walking past the legislative buildings the other day, I saw a van which had lettered on its side, Vosper's Parking Lot Line Painters. Now, I wouldn't have thought that there was enough business for somebody like that to stay afloat. Perhaps they even have competition. Maybe there's a bidding war between parking lot line painters going on right now. Maybe now is the best time for you to get those lines in your parking lot whitened up. I know you've been putting it off. Owl home inspections. Now this one, once again glimpsed on the side of a van, seems like, although there might be enough business, it's unlikely that your customers would have the means to pay for your services. Do these guys get paid in dead mice, you figure? The final example is, I should say right at the start, not a jab at the visually impaired. But I think every time I see a van marked blind cleaners, there seem to be several companies, that the difficulties in maneuvering around in strange houses, never mind cleaning, have to be numerous. One would think the greatest overhead cost would be breakage, not cleaning products. So if you have a far-fetched, maybe even an insane idea for a new business, say rabbit polishing, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. Hubris. And finally, we have the quotations, as per usual. And this one is called Thoughts for the Lost. Actually, there's three. Anyone can do any amount of work, provided it isn't the work he is supposed to be doing. Robert Benchley. There is a goal but no way. What we call a way is hesitation. Franz Kafka. I will make my place a queer, rather smallish place, but room and view enough to be happy in. Sylvia Plath. Well, it didn't really work out for her, did it? Anyway, that's it for this week and Persiflage number 15. If you're enjoying these, good on you, because there's more coming. Next week will be Persiflage number 16, and that will be followed the week after by, you guessed it, Persiflage number 17. Anyway, that's all for this week. I hope you have a safe, productive, happy, comfortable week filled with whatever the hell it is that you're into. Anyway, goodbye.